Today, I'm excited to continue on in the sermon series that we started last week called Choose Your Own Ending, right? So remember, as a kid, I didn't really like reading, but the one thing I did like to read were those Choose Your Own Adventure books, right? Because you got to sort of be the author in a certain way, right? And last week, we talked about, in sort of chapter one of our adventure here, we discussed how to start and restart our relationships so that it will end in honoring God, so that we'll actually have God at the center of those relationships. This week, as we kind of turn over to chapter two, if you will, we are going to choose our own ending regarding money. Right now, I know, like, as soon as Pastor starts preaching about money, now it's about to get real, right? Like, what's going on here and everything? What I want to do today is I just want to give you some options, even just like we did last week. I want to just pose some questions before you and just ask you if these are the situations and in the settings that are in front of us, how is it that you are choosing to move forward? How are you choosing your ending even as you go regarding finances? So before we jump into all that, I got a lot of scripture we're going to get to and everything. It's going to be super great. Let me just pray for us before we jump into this. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to break open your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are present here with us. Thank you, God, that you desire to speak into our hearts and our lives. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to hear your voice. Lord, I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, Father, and that you would help us all, Lord, to have hearts that are soft to hear from you, Lord, that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, God, that we would say yes, no matter what it is you're challenging us with, God. Help us to say yes today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be moving through this pretty quick, right? So there's going to be a lot of scripture references. They're all going to be up on the screen and everything. As you go, there might be some things that you hear that you're like, oh, I think I want to maybe look into that a little bit more and everything. If you need to jot down a scripture reference in your phone or something like that as we're going, feel free to do that. And then also, if you have any questions, you're like, I just don't really get that point of it, Pastor. Like, Pastor's here to talk to you. Like, I'd love to set up a time where we could even kind of talk through some of these principles, because I know for some people, this is brand new stuff, and that's okay. I'd love to walk this journey with you. The first question that we really have to look at is who will influence how we make decisions about money? Who will influence how we make decisions about money? See, this first choice here isn't even really about money. It's about who gets to tell you how to spend the money that you have, right? Who is it that you're going to listen to, and who is it that you are not going to listen to when it comes to spending and saving and investing and giving your money, right? For a lot of us, we have family history that has either taught us how to manage money or how not to, right? Hey, man, praise God, it's okay. We're not putting anybody out there or anything, but it's a reality. For some of us, God help us all, we look to that celebrity that we love the most, and we're just like, well, if that celebrity's doing it, then I'm spending that dollar too, right? Some of us, we just kind of look to our friends, and if our friends are spending in a certain way, then we spend in a certain way, and we have all these different sort of influences that are, or all these different people or things around us that can influence how it is we spend our money. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." See, this really kind of comes back even to our first question that we had last week of who is it that we're going to choose to submit to? If we're not careful, if we think to ourselves, well, I'm not really submitting to anyone in regard to money, the reality is that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is going to seep into your life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is going to tell you how to spend your money. And so unless you tell your money somewhere else to go, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is going to take over in your life and in your wallet and in your bank account and in your investments and all those things, those things will take over. But if we choose to submit to God, then we can actually, we can predict a different outcome, right? Here's what I mean by that. So first of all, let me just say, in this whole sermon, this is not pastor's get-rich-quick scheme, all right? Come on, somebody. If you were hoping to hear me say, hey, if you just live according to God's word, you are going to be printing money in your basement. No, it is not like that, all right? Like literally or figuratively, please don't print money in your basement. Seriously. Well, praise God we don't have basements around here. But it, you know what I'm saying. Like it's just that's not what I'm promising you, and I don't believe that's what the Word of God is promising you. And we're going to get to what he does actually promise here in just a moment. But I just want to be clear about that right off the jump here, right? But if we do submit ourselves to God, we see all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 3, or chapter 28, verses 3 through 6, it says this. This is God speaking through Moses to the people. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. If the fruit of your womb will be blessed and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your baskets and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. All of those things are promised to you if you submit your life to God. So Moses is there with the people of Israel trying to get them to keep their heads on straight, and we know how difficult that was, right? And he's telling them, like if you just submit to God, and I know like it's talking about animals and crops and all that kind of stuff, but you got to realize that was money back then, right? Like that was that flock that they had, that was a savings account that they were hoping to cash in one day, right? And so Moses is telling them, like, if you submit yourself to God, like God promises to bless you. But that is not the end of the chapter. And it cracks me up because, like, we got songs about the first 14 verses out of Deuteronomy 28. We have songs about them. We don't have any songs about verses 16 on. Here's what it says, starting verse 16. If you choose not to submit to God, if you choose instead to submit to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Deuteronomy 28, 16 through 19 says you'll be cursed in the city. You'll be cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. You'll be cursed when you come in, and you'll be cursed when you go out. Here's what's interesting about this. Moses goes on talking about these curses for 54 verses. Now, mind you, it was 14 on the blessings, 54 on the curses. Now, I don't know what, I don't have time to get into why it's 40 verses more on one than it is the other. All I'm saying is we've got to recognize that when we don't submit to God in our lives, and when we don't submit to God in our finances, there is some stuff that will get messed up in our lives. And we can't be surprised when we're not submitting to God and then our money gets funny, right? Like, we can't be surprised when we're trying to do things our own way, and then our own way goes the way our own way goes, right? Like we've got to recognize, like, God has some promises for us. So the first thing we've got to ask ourselves is, who gets to tell us how we're going to spend our money? If, even as we said last week, if you are endeavoring in your life to serve God, if you are endeavoring in your life to follow the word of God, if God really is your Lord, right, if you really want him to direct you, then there are certain things that you've got to do, and there are certain direction that God's word gives. Now, if that's not what you're trying to do, then you've got your own plan that you're trying to figure out, and we'll pray for you that you're able to kind of see what's up there. But first we've got to ask ourselves, like who gets to tell us how to spend our money, right? So then, what are we going to do with this money? Let's say we got some money now. What are we going to do with the money that we have? Well, if your life and your money are submitted to God so that you can live in the blessing of God, then he does have some very clear direction for you and for your money. For example, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. See, if you love the Lord, then you're going to want to honor him with every part of your life, and that includes your wealth, all right? If you love the Lord and you recognize that he has done something in your life, and again, let me just step back here just a moment to clarify what I mean by that. Like if you recognize that your life on your own was headed for disaster, if you recognize that your plan doesn't ever work, if you recognize that you needed saving because of the sin in your life, and you recognize that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and die a perfect death, that you might and be risen again, that you might be made whole, that you might be made brand new. If you recognize and are thankful for the fact that God sent his son, that you could be forgiven and made different. If you recognize that God has some blessings in your life, then you will want to honor the God who would send his son that all the way to the cross, that we might have eternity with him, and that we might be able to live in his blessing even now. If that is something that you really want, then the least we could do is honor him with it. The least we could do is honor him with the life that he saved. Honor him with the new life that he has given. Honor him with the blessing that he has put into our hands. Because the reality is, none of it belongs to us. Amen, Pastor. None of it belongs to us. I'm not just talking about what you're given in the offering or anything. I'm saying none of it. I'm not talking about, well, if I give this to the church or to even somebody on the street corner or something like that. No, I'm talking about everything you have belongs to God. And if you really believe that everything you have actually belongs to God, then you will want to honor him because he's letting you use it. Amen. Amen. Like, I'm thankful. Like, you ask my kids, and they'll tell you that our house is not what they would probably prefer, right? They probably like something a little nicer. They like something a little bigger. They like something a little less, with the driveway a little less broke up, right? They would. Ask Isaiah in particular. He had some words for me just yesterday about how not so great our house was. But you know, when we think about the fact that house doesn't belong to us, like, that's God's house, and he's letting us live in it. Praise the Lord. Like, we don't have to live outside. Praise God. Right? We have a roof over our head. Praise God. Right? There's like pictures of family on the wall. Praise God, right? Like, we got a refrigerator. Praise God. We got electricity. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord. We got water coming. Like, you see what I'm saying? None of that belongs to us. And if we really believe that, then we got to honor him with all of it. We got to honor him with all of it. I'm sorry, I got off on a little thing here, and I even forgot where I was. Yeah, here we go. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first few fruits of your crop. Even in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, once we get some money, one of the things that the Lord talks about a lot in Scripture is giving what was referred to in Proverbs there as first fruits. In other words, that you are giving back to God a portion of what he has given to you as a measure of faith to say, Lord, I know you put this in my hand, and I'm putting my trust right back in you. And it's one thing that you give, like, because you feel like, other people are going to see if I give, or if I don't give, right? And so I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm giving, you know, or I want to save face or anything there. But the reality is, God doesn't want you to give because you feel bad. God wants you to give because you love him. God wants you to give because you have joy in your heart. God wants you to give because he's worth it, right? And so he is endeavoring that we would give to him in order to accomplish the mission and the kingdom purposes that he has for us. Now, just real quick, let me talk about, like, when you give to the church, I want to tell you what it is that you're given to, right? Because there's two main sort of buckets, if you will, that kind of goes in. So the first thing is what we just refer to as like our general budget, right? We got to keep lights on. We got to keep the AC going, right? Even in January. We got to keep water flowing, like all this kind of stuff. We got staff. We got materials, like kids' curriculum. All of that is just everyday stuff. And when you just give to the church without any designation to it, it's going to support those things. Now, one of the things you might not know is in that budget, 10% of everything that you give goes right back out. We have missionaries that we support. I believe it's 7, maybe it's 6, different missionary families that we support all around the world. We also support the State Church of God organization. We support the Texas State Association. We support our national ministry as well. All of that together equals 10% of everything that has come into Houston First Church of God. As you give, 10% of that goes out, because we believe that if we as leaders and as elders are going to encourage you to give faith as a point of faith as a church together, then as a church we need to give as well. And so we are leading by example to give to other ministries as well. So that's with our general budget there. But we also have faith promise, and that's what we're talking a lot about this January. See, faith promise is something that we ask you to give over and above just your regular, like a tithe or an offering that you might have. See, faith promise is this way to say, like I have the faith to believe that God is promising some things to me. And so I'm going to pledge over this next year to give a certain amount, and I'm going to trust by faith that God is going to provide that amount for me in order that I can supply it then on to all of our Faith Promise ministries. I want you to know, last year we had the biggest budget for Faith Promise that we've had since I can remember, and I think since I've been here. And it was looking a little sketchy there for a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It was like we were getting into December and we weren't even halfway there yet. And I am so thankful to say not only did we meet that budget, but we exceeded that budget. And we are able to bless some other people with some extra money. Like, for real, that's a big thing. And so I just thank you for your generosity. And that doesn't even touch general, like, regular budget stuff. That doesn't touch the electricity or the water. That's just you giving out of the abundance of your heart. And God is so faithful with that. I'm so thankful for the way that you are given. And I'm so thankful that we get to support ministries like CareNet, by the way. They're part of our Faith Promise Suite. And so when we give in that way, we're able to continue to support ministries just like that. So if you choose to give, then like we see in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." But if you choose not to give, then we can go back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 6, which says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." See, the biblical principle here is that when we have the faith to trust God to give back the resources that he has given us, he will multiply that back into our lives. Now again, what you don't hear me saying, you're going to end up rich. You don't hear me saying you're going to have a Maserati in the driveway. You don't hear me saying you're going to be a millionaire. You don't hear me saying that at all. So don't you tweet that to anybody, right? But I promise you right now, you won't outgive God. I promise you right now, if you're faithful to him in your finances, he will be faithful to you as well. He promises it. And we can trust him with that. Ooh, I got so much to say in so little time. Let me just say this one part here, and then we'll get to this. For me, I think the big question is, what do we do when our money gets short, right? What do we do when there ain't no money? How do we manage that money we don't have, right? What do we do when we've got $100 worth of bills and $50 in our hand? Like, what do we do when money doesn't meet our needs, right? Well, this is, I believe, where we really find out who we're really listening to and who gets to tell us how to spend our money, right? That's where we find out who we're really submissive to, right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and part of that prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. See, what I want you to recognize in this is this verse here is not just about food. This is about trust. I mean, recognize this. Jesus is speaking this to people who don't always know where their daily bread is coming from. He's telling them, he's teaching them to pray to God to give us daily bread that we don't see yet, right? See, for most of us in this room, and let me just speak for myself, I have a pantry full of bread, full of bread. If I didn't go to the grocery store for the next month, I would not die. I would not die. I got so much food, I can choose whether I like that or not, right? Right? So for me, when I read a verse like, give us this day our daily bread, it doesn't really hit home because I got bread for months. In reality. But what Jesus is teaching his disciples here is that he's really sort of challenging them, like, are you going to trust God even when you don't see that bread? Are you going to trust that God has the bread even when you don't have it in your hand? Are you going to trust that God is able even when you don't see it, right? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, right? Now here's what I need you to see in this, because I get, and I want to be real on this, I get some people are just poor, right? And what I don't want you to hear is that if you're poor, you just need to get over it, right? Some people are just like they are doing everything they can. They're looking for work. They're trying. They're not spending crazy. They're not addicted to anything. They just don't have as much money as they need, and they're trying their best, and it's just hard. And I just need you to hear, like, if this is where you are, like God sees you, and God is with you, and God has a way out of all that. And I don't want you to feel shame about that. I don't want you to feel bad about that. I want you to know you've got a church that wants to walk alongside you. I want you to know that God has a plan for you and that this financial shortfall is not the end of your life. But some of us just don't know how to be content. Some of us don't know how to keep our credit card in our wallet. Some of us don't know how to just stop and be happy with what you have. And so you see that TV and you get it, even though you don't need it. You see that car and you get it, even though the one you had is probably good enough, right? Like all these different things. And so what we need to do is we need to actually let God be God, even in our decision-making about what we're spending on and what we actually need. And I got a whole nother sermon series on the word need. We need to ensure that we are being content with what we have, so that we are not putting ourselves in situations where the enemy is able to tell us things that aren't true simply because we put ourselves in a bad spot. So really, the big question is, who gets to be the master of our money, right? Who gets to tell us how we're going to spend? Who gets to tell us how we're going to give? Who gets to tell us what we're going to save? Who gets to tell us what we're going to invest? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The question is, who gets to be the master of your money? Do you have to be the master of your money? Do you have to be in control? Do you have to be the one who's doing all this stuff? I'm promising you, like I'm just telling you my own testimony. My plans are terrible. Terrible. And they always work out terrible. But if I can dare be courageous enough to just trust God and his plan and his word, like, he makes a way every single time. Every single time. And so I just want to encourage you to really be thinking about, like who gets to be the master of your money? And it all goes back to who's really the master of your life. Who's the one who's telling you what to do in all of your life? Do you have to be the one who's in control? Do you have to be the one who says, well, I want to decide where I'm going to work and where I'm going to live and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to interact in my home? Like you can try that. I'm just letting you know it's not going to work well. But if maybe you're ready to be done, like, controlling your own life, maybe you want to try to just let God. Maybe you recognize that in doing your own thing, all it has led to is sin and despair. And I just want you to know that doesn't have to be the end of your story. Like, there's hope and there's joy and there's peace. And I know for a lot of us, like, we're talking about money. That doesn't include hope and joy and peace. But it all comes down to, like, who is the master of your life? Not just your wallet, but your whole life. And if you would dare just simply submit yourself to him, I promise, he's got some blessing and favor for you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for everything that you have blessed us with. I thank you, God, that you are faithful. I thank you, God, that you hold to your promises. Lord, we thank you for every resource that you've put in our hands, God, and we recognize none of it belongs to us. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would help us to just simply submit to you. Lord, for those of us here who've maybe never decided to follow you as like our Father, as our God. All right, Lord, I just want to acknowledge that we find ourselves in a tough spot. God, we have sinned and we need a Savior. We have sinned and we've messed up our own lives plenty. We've messed up our own money plenty. And God, we need a Savior. And Lord, we're so thankful that Jesus is our Savior. God, we're so thankful that Jesus is the answer that we need. We're so thankful, God, that Jesus is the way to hope and joy and peace. God, we're so thankful. And we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would forgive us of our sin and help us, Father, to turn from our wicked ways. Help us, Father, to truly submit our lives to you and to follow your word, God. Help us, Lord, that we would be Jesus followers starting today. God, we want to follow you. Help us, God, to follow you, not just in our spending, but in every area of our lives. God, that you might be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.